No other shampoo. Only Dreen shampoo with hair conditioner leaves your hair so lustrous, yet so easy to manage.
Hello, Dreen Show, Rudy Valley speaking.
Greetings, amigo mio. This is your exalted house guest, Monty Woolley. Gird your loins for a startling bit of news, my lad. In deference to the unprecedented dearth of lodgings, I have converted your home into a hotel.
You've converted my home into a hotel?
The Villa Valley. We have an impressive slogan. If you want a room real bad, come to the Villa Valley. The success of the new venture has been phenomenal, Rudy. We have residing here at present 138 guests. Yes,
138 guests? All together?
No, in separate rooms.
It's indeed a minor catastrophe. 138 people living in my house.
Correction, Rudy. 139. I have just put a gentleman into the parrot's cage with the parrot.
Do you mean to say that anybody could be so hot up for a place to live that he'd move in with a parrot? Ridiculous.
Move over, bud! You're crowding me!
Silly boy.
Mr. Woolley, I insist that you clear all of those people out of my house immediately.
Well, it's an impossible task, my irate host. All the guests are infinitely happy here, especially since I decided to lend a suggestion of luxury to the hostelry and fill the swimming pool with champagne.
What? Champagne in the pool?
Rather. And it has become an instantaneous success. I have never seen so many people going down for the third time with smiles on their faces.
Yes, I can just imagine.
Yes, indeed. They dive into the pool very optimistically, and they come out very misty optically.
Champagne in the pool. I don't know what to say. My writer couldn't think of a line.
Do hasten here, Rudy. Hasten here and meet your guests personally. And while you're about it, bring along a few empty caviar jars.
Empty caviar jars? What are you going to do with them?
Put them on top of our garbage can to give our garbage a little class.
Oh, Holly, Holly.
Yes, Rudy.
I'm going to run through my first number now, and then will you, Frank Duvall, and the orchestra come out to the house? I might be able to boost the rates if I give the guests some entertainment.
Okay.
Fun to be fooled, fun to pretend, fun to believe love is unending. Thought I was done, still it is fun being fooled again. Nice when you tell all that you feel, nice to be told this is the real thing. Fun to be kissed, fun to exist, to be fooled again. It's that old devil moon having his fling once more, telling me spring once more. I'm afraid love is king once more. Fun to be fooled, fun to pretend, this little dream won't end.
Good evening, Villa Valley. This is the clerk, Monty Woolley, speaking.
Hello, I would like to know your rates.
Certainly, sir. We charge $5 and $10 for our room.
Well, tell me, what's the difference between the $5 rooms and the $10 rooms? Well,
there is no difference. We're just rats.
Really, there must be some difference.
Well, slightly. With the $5 rooms, we throw in your breakfast.
And for $10?
For $10, we carry it in. You'll like our hotel, sir. The rooms are immaculately clean.
They are?
Yes. The guests keep moving in and out so often, the dust doesn't have time to settle.
Well, each room gets maid service, I hope.
Oh, decidedly. Our maid service is 10 to 1.
10 to 1. Are those the hours she cleans?
No, the odds that she won't show up.
Well, I'm desperate for a room. When can I have it?
I believe you can move in January 12th, 1952.
Oh, thank you. Morning or afternoon?
Afternoon. The chap that has it is a late sleeper. Oh, good evening, sir. I'm dreadfully sorry, but we are completely devoid of vacancies. Every room is occupied.
Wait a minute, Mr. Woolley. I'm Rudy Valley, and this is my house. I have a room here. I have a room here.
Silly boy.
Why, you, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you rented out my room, too?
Well, it's an intelligent conclusion, Rudy. Your chambers are now being occupied by a lady and her cat.
Yes, a cat? That I will not stand for. Have her get rid of the cat at once.
Now, Rudy, I cannot become a party to such wanton cruelty. That cat has lived in her house for 12 years.
12 years?
Yes. Day in and night out.
Some fun, I'll say. You rented my room. But what about your room?
An unwarranted insinuation, Rudy. My room is being occupied by a famous motion picture celebrity whose artistry has captivated the admiration of the entire world.
Really? Who is this famous celebrity?
Me.
I should have expected that.
Just a moment. Hello, Villa Valley. Clerk speaking.
This is Mrs. Snodgrass in room 215. I have a complaint to make. There's a drip in my bathtub.
There is? Well, have him come down and register.
I mean there's a leak. Is it safe for me to run the water in the tub?
Oh, completely, madam, completely. However, when you do run the water in the tub, be prepared for one thing.
What is that?
Well, as Homer so aptly put it in Greek, Dene de klange genet agrioio bioio. The English translation is, clang, clang, clang goes the plumbing. Complaints. Complaints. Nothing but complaints.
You haven't heard anything yet. Where am I going to sleep?
Rudy, having anticipated your uncooperative attitude, I have already made the necessary arrangements. You shall sleep in the library.
Oh, the library. Well, that's not bad.
Exactly. I have cleared off one of the bookshelves for you.
I sleep on a bookshelf?
Yes, but you must be extremely quiet.
Why?
Well, I wouldn't want to disturb the people on the other shelves. You're very fortunate, Rudy. I'm letting you have the one remaining bed sheet.
That's damn white of you.
Undeniably. But you must be up by 7 o'clock for breakfast.
I never eat breakfast.
You have to get up regardless.
Why?
We need the sheet for the table. Now I suggest that you have Frank Duvall and his orchestra play something. I promised the guests dancing.
Oh, very well, then. Oh, Frank, play
Call
that new...
Call the police! Call the police!
What's the trouble, miss?
I caught this man here looking over the transom into my room.
But, miss, you don't understand. I was only...
You, Truman Bradley, looking over a transom? How could you do it?
It's easy. I'm very tall.
But why were you peering over the transom, Truman?
Well, you see, Rudy, a while ago I noticed this lovely young lady in the lobby, and I couldn't help being enchanted. Any man would be. I hope she won't mind my mentioning it, but she has such gorgeous hair. Such beautiful, lustrous hair that I couldn't help wondering if she used green shampoo with hair conditioner. So I peeked, and sure enough...
Now you know my beauty secret, Mr. Bradley. Of course I use green. No other shampoo leaves hair so lovely.
Ah, you're as wise as you are glamorous. I knew you couldn't be using a soap or soap shampoo because soap of any sort leaves a dulling film on the hair.
Oh, it's true, isn't it? That most shampoos are nothing but liquid soap, which may account for some girls having dull, drab hair.
Absolutely right. And green reveals up to 33% more luster than any kind of soap. What's more, you...
Just a moment, Truman. What can I do for you, Mr. Nielsen?
Clerk, did you take that there cuspidor out of the lobby?
Yes.
Well, I want it put back. I miss that cuspidor.
I know. That's why I took it out.
Another swell feature about Dreen is that it completely removes every trace of unsightly dandruff the very first time you use it. And because of the wonderful hair conditioner contained in the new improved Dreen, it leaves your hair far easier to manage right after shampooing. No other shampoo,
Only Dreen with hair conditioner leaves your hair so lustrous, yet so easy to manage.
Well, of course, that explains everything, Truman.
Rudy, you may check into your berth in the library now. I've already taken care of your wardrobe.
So I've just been noticing. Mr. Woolley, I don't mind your wearing my new tie and my new shirt, but there is one thing for which I will not stand. Mr. Woolley, take off my new suspenders.
What? And have your new pants fall down?
What's the trouble? Ashamed of my new underwear? Play, Frank. Good work. Well, Mr. Woolley, I imagine that kind of music should keep our guests happy. But did you watch the violin section?
Oh, sorry, Rudy. My eyes were riveted on Frank Duvall, the conductor. I was fascinated. You know, the way he handles a stick, he should be at the Hollywood Bowl.
You mean conducting a symphony?
No, picking up paper.
I resent that for Frank and Spike Wallace in 47. Now, believe me. Well, I think the boys in the orchestra are marvelous. In fact, I'd rather hear them play than eat.
So would I. They play much more quietly than they eat.
I didn't mean that.
Hi, boss. Mr. Woolley. Say, I just got a complaint from the guy in 324. He wanted some goat's milk. And when I bought him some, he said it was sour.
Well, that's easily explained, Chatsworth. It got sour from the curdle.
From the curdle? I didn't think goats wore them.
Chatsworth, you are very sharp. And when I say sharp, I refer to the manner in which your head comes to a point. It is a source of great bewilderment to me exactly how one gets to be like you.
You don't get to be like me, wise guy. Why, people like me are born.
Yes, that's the trouble. I'll go.
Oh, I don't need this crummy job, and I think I'm going to quit. I just got an offer to be the assistant to a doorknob polisher.
Assistant to a doorknob polisher?
Yeah. I go, and he polishes.
No, I can't understand.
Just a moment. Hello, clerk speaking.
Hello. This is a little girl in 215. I can't sleep because all night long my little brother keeps sticking a foot into the fireplace.
Well, why should that keep you from sleeping?
It's my foot.
Charming little tyke, isn't he, your brother?
He's terrible. Yesterday, we wanted my daddy to take us to a nightclub, but my daddy wouldn't do it. My little brother said to me, "Do you want to see the floor show?" And I said, "Yes." And guess what he did?
What?
He cut a hole in the rug.
And you saw the floor show?
Hey, yeah. Give me that phone, sis. Hey, Bob, what goes on up here is none of your business, so keep your nose out of it.
Now, young man, you go to bed like a nice little boy, and tomorrow I'll take you to the zoo, and I'll let you watch me feed the lions.
Really? Well, what's he going to feed the lions?
You.
Yeah, don't give me that malarkey. You wouldn't feed me to the lions.
Silly boy. Now go to bed, be quiet, or I'll come up and knock that lump off your head. Well, I'll put one there and then knock it off. Come, Rudy. It might be advisable to coerce that youngster to go to bed before he awakens all our other guests.
Very well, let's go. Frankly, Mr. Woolley, I can't fathom why you turned my place into a hotel. With my position on the air, I certainly don't need the extra income.
But, Rudy, nothing is permanent in the realm of the theater. The crooner has definitely reached his peak and passed it.
On that point, I beg to differ. Look at Frank Sinatra. He still holds on to his fans.
Yes, if he didn't, he'd fall down.
Now, Rudy, I'm advising you from my wealth of experience. I used to tour with a famous Shakespearean troupe, but that has long since disappeared from the American scene.
Oh, yes, I remember that you toured with Shakespearean plays. There's one thing I've always wanted to know, Mr. Woolley. In the play Hamlet, was there really a love affair between Hamlet and Ophelia?
In the company I was in, there was.
I see. Well, here we are at this kid's room. Now, let's sneak in softly and see if they're asleep.
Shh, shh. The little boy is in bed with his eyes closed. Let's tiptoe out.
Okay.
What's up, Doc?
Oh, you're up. Where's your little sister?
Well, I wanted to play Romeo and Juliet, and I told her to climb out the window onto the balcony.
But there is no balcony out there.
Oh, no wonder when I said, "Wherefore art thou, Juliet?" I didn't get an answer.
Socrates once said that one should reason with little children, not spank them.
Ouch! Well, then why'd you spank me?
Who cares what Socrates said? Now go to sleep.
Oh, I tried to, but I can't.
You think perhaps you could fall asleep if I were to sing to you?
Well, maybe. But don't tell anybody I still go for that lullaby stuff.
Don't worry. I'm the kind of a fellow that keeps my mouth shut.
Yes, especially when he sings.
Don't give me that. Valley doesn't sing through his nose.
Silly boy.
I'm just the luckiest fellow on earth. Ain't felt so good since the day of my birth. I can't figure out what I've done to be worth that woman of mine. It doesn't matter to her when I'm broke. She'll pass it off with a cute little joke, for she's just the same, sipping champagne or coke. That woman of mine, when we are together, makes no difference whether we're mixing with the crowd or all alone. She will show me some way, morning, night, or noonday. I'm all she really ever cares to own. If heaven's sweeter, how grand it must be. Our life together is so heavenly. I'll always be grateful that she chose to be that woman of mine. Our life together is so heavenly. I'll always be grateful that she chose to be that woman of mine.
Is he asleep?
Maybe he'll go to sleep if you tell him a bedtime story, Mr. Woolley.
Yeah, but none of that corny Goldilocks routine. I want some action stuff. You know, cops and robbers.
Very well, little man, very well. I shall relate to you a truly gripping detective story entitled The Case of the Murdered Sweater Girl or Much Ado About Knitting. Story opens at police headquarters. Hello? Police headquarters. This is the inspector speaking.
I have a complaint to register. There's a man annoying me in a parked car at the corner of Sunset and Vine.
Sunset and Vine, eh? I'll take care of that. Calling all cars! Calling all cars! Calling Police Officer O'Brien! Cut it out!
Hello, Inspector.
Hello, Sergeant. Have you been trailing that killer, Joe the Gyp? Like I told you?
Yep, and I finally got his footprints.
Good. Where are they?
I can't tell you, but I won't sit down on this job.
Nice work, Sarge. For that, you deserve another stripe. Hand me that chalk.
I followed your instructions and trailed Maxie the mouse, but he got on a trolley car and I couldn't follow him.
Why, idiot, why didn't you take four coppers with you, like I told you?
Yes, but it was no use. The fare's a nickel.
For that, you lose the stripe. Hand me the eraser.
Oh, hello, Inspector.
Well, if it isn't the chief chemist of the criminology department. Say, Doc, how did you make out with the sport coat I took off that murdered man yesterday?
Well, Inspector, I tried every chemical I had, but nothing would affect the bloodstains.
Too bad. Yeah, too bad. I guess I'll have to wear it the way it is. Oh, by the way, Sarge.
Yes, sir?
What about that secret mission I sent you out on? Did you interview my ex-secretary, Louise LaRue?
Yes, but she won't talk.
Thank goodness.
Yes, we're both safe.
Hello? Hello. Police headquarters.
This is Thimble's department store. A woman has just been murdered here.
Murdered, eh? Have you got the body?
Oh, yes.
I'll be right over for it.
We deliver, you know.
No, thanks. I'll be right over. This is murder, and besides, I've got a few gifts I want to exchange. Men. We've got all the other killers in this town behind bars. Now we have to get this killer. He's the only murderer left.
Right!
We must keep after him till there's not a man of us left.
Right!
Now get going. Go through that door on the left.
Right!
Inspector, there is no door on the left.
Right! Come on, Sarge. We'll take the police car and go down to Thimble's department store.
Well, here we are at the department store.
Yes, but we got to go back. We forgot something.
What did we forget?
We forgot the car. Well, nobody's perfect. Put that police siren in your pocket. Let's go into the store. I wonder where the corpse is. I'd better ask this girl behind the counter.
What can I do for you, sir?
I'm looking for a corpse.
What size, please?
You don't understand. I'm looking for a corpse with a bullet hole in it.
Oh, second-hand goods, floor.
Come on, Sarge, let's get in the elevator.
Going up, second floor, crockery, tableware, and the darlingest hats. Coats, vacuum cleaners, and cigarette butts trimmed. Going up, fourth floor, furniture, mirrors, cosmetics, and Dreen with hair conditioner. Ah, Dreen. We stop here for all ladies who may have drab, mousy hair. Yes, ma'am, here's our glamour, our get-ready-for-romance department. Because Dreen shampoo reveals up to 33% more luster than any soap or soap shampoo. It never leaves any dulling film on the hair, as all soaps do.
Instead, Dreen brings out all the shining beauty. And the new improved Dreen contains a wonderful hair conditioner that leaves hair far smoother, silkier, and easier to manage right after shampooing. Of course, whether girls ask for it at their beauty shop or use it at home, all who are wise to the ways of glamour insist on this wonderful combination of beauty advantages. No other shampoo. Only Dreen shampoo with hair conditioner leaves your hair so lustrous, yet so easy to manage. Here we are, fourth floor, Dreen shampoo, also men's shirts, ties, and a corpse.
Come on, Sarge, this is where we get off.
Let the gentleman out in front.
Oh, thank you. Out! Let me out in back, too.
Sorry. There you are, sir.
Look, Inspector, there's the corpse lying on the men's tie counter.
Terrible, horrible. I've never seen anything more criminal in my life.
You mean the way that girl was murdered?
No. Charging those prices for those ties.
Look, Inspector, there goes somebody crawling behind the counter. I'm going in after him.
No, Sarge. I'm going in to catch the murderer single-handed. But there's one thing I want you to do.
What's that?
Talk me out of it.
I don't have to, Inspector. Here comes the murderer crawling out on his hands and knees.
Ah, you killer. I've got you now. Did you kill this girl? Did you?
I won't talk, I tell you. I won't talk.
Why not?
I can't. I'm only 6 months old.
So they took this little baby back to headquarters with them, and believe me, they pinned plenty on him.
Let's sneak out now, Mr. Woolley. The boy's sound asleep.
No, I'm not.
Oh, what are we going to do now?
I might play ball with you guys and go to bed if you recited a nursery rhyme to me.
Very well, very well. What are little girls made of, made of? What are little girls made of? Sugar and spiced, everything nice. That's what little girls are made of, made of. Good night.
Oh, no, you don't. That isn't the whole thing. What are little boys made of?
If you don't shut up and go to sleep, I'll take you apart and show you. Good night.
One more little item, ladies. Such a little item that some housewives forget what a big balance it can add up to in our total war effort. Every spoonful helps to make a pound of used kitchen fats. Every pound of fat helps make explosive tanks, synthetic rubber, and medicines. So don't overlook this vital war need. Strain all used fats into a can and rush it when full to your butcher. The 2 red points he'll give you for every pound will come in mighty handy now that red points are so scarce.
Rudy Vallee will present another Dreen show for Procter & Gamble next Thursday evening at the same time from Hollywood with Monty Woolley and our special guests, the Andrews Sisters. This is Truman Bradley reminding you that no other shampoo, only Dreen shampoo with hair conditioner, leaves your hair so lustrous, yet so easy to manage.
Twice to wear your clothes, we're up to twice as long, and all it takes is ivory flakes.
A blouse.
A house coat.
A sweater.
A slip.
Give them ivory flakes care.
That's our tip.
Wash tests show
that this is so.
Twice the wear, yes. You get up to twice the wear, your clothes, we're up to twice as long, and all it takes is ivory flakes. It's ivory flakes for twice the wear. You get up to twice the wear, your clothes, we're up to twice as long.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.